Hello and welcome to another episode of Gemstone Mine. I'm John, and I had the good fortune to participate in my first ever CEDH webcam tournament over the weekend. And I did about as well as I expected. 0-3 and drop. In spite of the poor results I put up, I was actually very happy with the tournament, which was run very well by Chaos Tournaments, with great judges and a lot of great opponents. Shoutouts to Chaos for the awesome event, and to the folks at Sad Gnaws for sponsoring the event. I made some mistakes, some of which I am not very happy with myself for making, but I learned a lot too. And today, I'm going to talk about the lessons I learned by doing badly at a tournament. If you like this or any of our other episodes, if you learned something, or you just gave you something to think about, it'd really help to hit that subscribe button on YouTube if you aren't already, or leaving us a like or a comment on your platform of choice. My first lesson was good. I mulliganed with a plan. We did an episode recently talking about the importance of mulligans in the getting ready stage of the game, and I mentioned that my mulligans are one of my major weaknesses. In this tournament, I actually feel like my mulligan skills have improved. I start to get anxious when I go down from 7 cards to 6 cards, and I felt very confident about my decision to mull to 6 in 2 out of the 3 games. My first opening hand was a keep at 7 with a seat 2, turn 1 Esper Sentinel out of my hand, and I was going into a pod with only a single green player, so I felt pretty good about getting multiple card draws off of it, and then I just so happened to top deck a Mana Crypt, which let me play my commander out on turn 2. In game number 2, I managed to keep a 6 card hand and bottom a piece of interaction while again in seat number 2, but I got to keep some extra fast mana to get my commander online with an early tutor that I could threaten my win condition by turn 4, with a Mystic Remora to reload my hand to potentially draw into an extra tutor, but one of my opponents just so happened to draw the nuts and managed a Thoracle Consult by turn 2. There wasn't a whole lot I could have done at that point with the hand that I kept anyway. In game number 3, I went down to 6 and kept a hand which had several options. I could either go into a fast commander if I top decked a second Mana Rock, or play for value with an early Esper Sentinel and develop Mother of Runes to protect my board. I had a lot of options, and I felt good about all of my opening hands. Lesson number 3 was a bit of a bad lesson, but an important one to learn. I got greedy at this tournament. We've talked about greed and respect before, and I still don't really like those terms, but they're commonly used in the community, and they're reasonably understandable, so that's what we're going to go with. After Command Fest Philadelphia, I had my experience in those CEDH events. I really felt like I was playing too cautiously, waiting a turn or two too long to play out my combos, snapping off interaction too quickly, and generally just having mistakes that I wasn't having in home games. In this event, I overcorrected. I was playing much too greedily, holding my interaction until it was much too late. I even committed to an attack to take out the Stax player's Karn the Great Creator, which was holding back the Thrasios Timna player, who had just shown the table, a swift reconfiguration with a Devoted Druid already in play off of a Tainted Pact. I knew they had exiled their Thassa's Oracle with the Tainted Pact, but I completely ignored the possibility of Lab Jace or Lab Man in the deck. My plan was to take out the Stax effect on my turn, eliminating Karn, then pass the turn around the table, and use a piece of interaction to remove an opposition agent that was stopping me from tutoring up my win condition. But not only had I ignored the possibility of the Timna Thrasios player having backups for Thoracle, I also completely ignored the presence of Archon of Valor's Reach on the table, and the controller had named instance. My plan to get rid of the opposition agent revolved around using Chain of Vapor. 2 misplays for the price of 1, and they literally cost us the game. No other way to say it, I got greedy, I ignored multiple pieces of known information to try to pursue my own win condition, when I really had other options that I should have used, drawn the game out, and waited for my opportunity to strike. The next lesson is actually a series of lessons, and I got to get some good reps in with a really interesting deck. I talked about a Simic version of Vol Candlekeep Researcher recently, and I took an Azorius version of the deck to this tournament. Part of the reason was because I realized that Noble Heritage achieved the same goal of quickly getting Vol to 5 toughness to make Staff of Domination a 1-card win condition. I'll post the decklist in the comments for your reading pleasure, and I've identified some issues during play that I would like to adjust. I'm feeling more confident with some of my includes and excludes after getting them into the game, and I also found some really interesting lines in the deck. particularly using transmute artifact, and they are surprisingly easy to pull off, even through a rule of law, so something I may consider focusing on more in the Azorius version. In particular, the mana which Vol produces can be used to pay the cost difference on transmute artifact, and that was usually big enough to cover that cost plus pay for most or all of the initial cost to untap with Staff of Domination and go for the win. Vol has been an absolute blast to play in two of the five possible color identities that I can play the commander with, and the grind the deck is capable of when going into mid-range pods and having one card win conditions that's easy to tutor up feels really good. Finding the right balance for stacks, pieces, interaction, outlets, and payoffs is going to be really important going forward, and I think this deck may want to run a few artifacts-based stacks effects to slow down faster opponents. But it doesn't really want to play through a rule of law, even if it can. Having the mana outlets are also nice, but I don't know. The deck probably wants some form of artifact-based stacks effects against graveyard effects, so Rest in Peace may not make the cut, but Grafdigger's Cage and Lion's Sash, they might. And finding the right number of outlets is going to be tricky, as Vol feels best when there are mana sinks to dump mana into each turn cycle. I'm also interested in trying out builds in both Izzet and Dimir, maybe even Mono Blue. In Dimir, I'm looking at Cultus of the Absolute as a background, as an easy way to get Vol to 5+ toughness and make Staff of Domination into a one-card win condition. Not so sure what I would do in Izzet or Mono Blue for a background, but I can always look more later. The next lesson, I just had not playtested enough for the event. My decision to participate in the tournament was sort of a last-minute thing, and I chose to take an Azorius build of Vol that I mentioned before without any significant playtesting. I was overall happy with how the deck played, but I think I would have felt much more confident in my decisions on interaction points in particular if I had more reps in with the deck beforehand. For the Oktoberfest in November, I plan to get a lot more playtesting in beforehand. But I just had a deck that was brand new and fun, and I really wanted to play it, and the tournament provided a great excuse for it. I think that the choice was to my benefit for my enjoyment, but a net negative for my performance. I also need to force myself to get out of my shell and engage with other minds in the community to help tune my decks. In particular, I'm not so great at brewing in white spaces in the CEDH metagame, so I may have to enlist some help from some of the great creators and great minds that are out there. The final lesson is kind of a bonus lesson, a cool new thing that I learned. One of the hard parts of cutting during the pandemic era and over spell table for VEDH has been, well, how do you offer cuts to your opponents? And what I was shown was this. After shuffling, you split your deck into three piles of roughly equal size and ask an opponent what order to stack them in. I've heard it referred to as a Brazilian cut, but honestly, I don't know where it originated from or if that is an accurate term for it. Particularly if you are still taking precautions against handling other decks, or if you're still doing a lot of webcam gaming, this can be a really good way to handle cuts and get closer to that tournament experience if you're trying to prepare. And that about covers the lessons I learned from a really cool webcam CEDH tournament. My first one, in fact. I would have loved to tell you just how I took down the tournament with a rogue brew, but honestly, there was just as much, if not more, to learn from defeat as there was from victory. Have you had any experiences at an event, whether an organized tournament or a command fest, or just some local event at your friendly local gaming store, where it taught you a really useful lesson? We'd love to hear about them. You can leave us a comment. On YouTube, we are Gemstone Mine Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe if you feel like we've earned it from this or our other lessons. You can also add us on Twitter, where we are at GemstoneMineMTG, or you can email us, gemstonemindpodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, I'm John, and this is Gemstone Mine.